Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour 2 on this Wednesday. Dan and the Dennis, Dan Patrick Show. The great writer Stephen King putting out some clickbait. And I think he got me. Here's his tweet. Assuming Goodfellas is number 3 on the all-time mobster movie list, what are the other 7 best gangster movies? Who said Goodfellas?
I'll tell you who didn't say Goodfellas.
Everybody.
That was this guy, right?
Yeah, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of Goodfellas.
Yes. Goodfellas.
And Goodfellas is a movie about a bunch of nice guys that just, you know, trying to cut their lawn.
Forget about it.
I think that a Matthew McConaughey movie, Goodfellas. Yes, McLovin.
This is your one cultural blind spot right here. This is the one area that you've not met. You do not embrace mafia movies.
I don't. Because I was cautioned by my wife because of her side of the family that this is not brought up. And I just said, okay, I'm not bringing it up. When you find out some relative owned a parking lot in New York, I don't need to know how you got it and what you do with it, a parking garage. Like, okay. Yeah, Seton.
Goodfellas came out in 1990.
Yeah. And?
You have ample time to have watched that movie.
Oh, that doesn't mean I liked it. I watch it. I don't discuss it. I was okay with it. Everybody dies in the end of these mob movies. And that's what I just, like The Godfather. Like Sonny Corleone, I didn't want him to die. Like Brando, okay, you die. All right, you're the Godfather, you're going to die. I don't know. And then they swear that they're going to protect, what is it, the Omerita or
Omerta.
Omerta? And then they always turn against each other.
All right, here's the question for this side of the glass. If Dan were to only watch and sit down and watch the entire thing, the first Godfather, Goodfellas, or the entire Soprano series, but you got to commit to one of those three, but we have to pick on your behalf. What would you guys say?
Well, can I just make one slight change into you actually have to watch all 3 Godfathers, not just the first
That's
one.
That's not fair.
One and two, they're probably the second and third best mafia movies of all time, with Goodfellas being the first.
Yeah, but Stephen King says Goodfellas is three.
Okay, yeah, but I might not agree with him.
Oh, okay. Well, he's saying Godfather 1 and 2. And
our,
then
our 1 and 2, right.
Goodfellas.
Although his tweet, it doesn't actually make sense, because if he says, I think he's saying all three Godfathers, because he's like, why? He says, what are the other seven best? No. Who does a top eight list?
Yes, Todd.
No, we've told you this many times, is watch The Sopranos, especially in these times of no sports and quarantine, where you have this ample opportunity to binge watch. Mm. Give it a shot. I don't think we're going to send you down the wrong path if you watch many episodes of The Sopranos.
I know it's great. I don't know. There's something
you're going into it with a bad attitude. That's the problem.
Yes, dude.
You didn't have to live through the real life time of doing Sopranos when they started doing half episodes. They only released every 2 years. So you'd get like six episodes or something, and then you'd have to wait another 2 years or something, and then nothing would happen in every single episode. You'd be like, oh my God, they're just riding around and he's just going to therapy more? What the hell?
I hate binge watching, because what happens is, and as much as I love Ozark and Bosch and some of these other shows, there's so much time in between seasons, and I forget what happened. It loses, you know, at least with Game of Thrones, and I didn't watch it, but Game of Thrones was each week. And therefore, you could stay with the storyline, and you didn't forget the storyline or characters. Ozark comes back, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Her husband's dead. She poisoned him. You know, you're just going, okay, I'm trying to piece all of this together. Same thing with Bosch. Love Bosch. But this last season, I went, God, I'm having a hard time. I had to go back to watch the previous two episodes before I started the next season. Yeah, Paulie.
Dan, I'm going to run through a handful of other mafia-esque type movies.
All right.
Have you seen them?
Okay.
Miller's Crossing.
A little bit, because I like the Coen brothers.
The Coen brothers. A lot of people love that movie. A Bronx Tale, Chaz Palminteri. Oh,
I did not watch that.
Good movie.
You got to see A Bronx Tale.
Okay.
Casino.
I did, and it was uncomfortable. I did.
Okay. Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I don't think you watched the whole thing.
Yeah, Joe Pesci, they go out and they kill him. They kill his brother.
Oh, too soon.
Sharon Stone is, you know,
okay.
Drug-fueled.
Donnie Brasco with Johnny Depp.
I did, but I felt bad that he was going to turn on Al Pacino.
It's a Fugazi.
You're rooting for the mafia guy.
I sometimes watch Reels, that network Reels, and they always do these mobster things. And every one of them ends the same way.
Here's one that's really niche, and McLovin's going to love them mentioning this. Right. It's a Russian mafia movie, Eastern Promises. It might be Andrew's favorite movie.
Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, yes.
Anything with Viggo Mortensen taking his shirt off, I'm in. What?
Who said that?
Was there nudity in that?
Oh,
there's
my
actually
God.
A fight scene yeah.
where
Viggo,
he's naked, right?
He's completely naked fighting some guy.
That's an uncomfortable scene.
Oh, that was the only part I liked. I remember seeing a little bit of that. Yeah, see.
So this is sort of a side topic then. Right. Is Reservoir Dogs a mafia movie?
Organized crime movie, yes.
But not a mafia movie. Because those guys are in the mafia.
Yes. That's in the...
Oh, okay. I don't know if that slides in under the wire
It's
there.
Not your traditional New York City, hey guys, hey, we're going to go do this thing. You know what I mean? It's not your typical New York City centered mafia movie, but it's still about organized crime. It's still about the mafia, right?
But it's in LA.
Right.
Yeah, McLovin.
See, I don't know if that's mafia, because that might not have been the Italian mob. So did they do the Omerta and the...
Omerta.
And you know that ceremony, like there's different levels. It's a great question, but I think there's different levels of organized crime movies.
And it's never organized. That's the problem with organized crime. It doesn't feel organized. Is that just me?
It's highly unorganized.
Yes.
Crime.
It is. Yeah. I watch that Reels channel, and they're like drug lords and, you know, guy with the Hell's Angels and like all of these different, I mean, kind of crazy. But they all kind of end the same way. Yes, McLovin.
I know one you definitely didn't like. The Departed.
Oh, God, it was horrible. I laughed. I went to the theater and saw that movie, and I laughed out loud because there's a scene where they come down the elevator, and then somebody gets shot, and then somebody gets shot, and somebody gets shot. And I go, come on. Come on. This is funny.
That being said, it's still probably a top 10 mafia movie.
Man, that's not a good movie. And then Jack Nicholson with his impersonation of Yeah, see.
Mafia movies have done a funny thing, though, in that you do root for who are ultimately supposed to be the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right? Where you're rooting for the mafia guy to get away from the cops. Like, you've never watched a movie about Charles Manson and been like, man, I hope Charlie gets away with it.
Yeah.
But in mafia movies, that's kind of what you do.
I don't know what it is about the mafia where we go, God, it'd be kind of cool. You know, they're into heroin, they're prostitution, and man, I hope they get...
it's just family men trying to make a buck.
It's the food. That's why we like it, because
and,
the organized
the
crime,
clothes.
Yeah, killing people and extorting people is bad, but the lifestyle of the eating is fantastic.
I talked to James Caan, who played Sonny Corleone. I talked to him last week, and we were talking about the toll booth scene. And he said that they had him wired up so when he gets shot, he's got 127, I think they're called quibs, and they explode. And there's a guy who just detonates them, you know, the special effects guy. And he said that, you know, they just blast and then blood comes out of it. But he said that was one take. That scene at the toll booth is one take by Sonny Corleone. And he always makes the joke, James Caan, he goes, if Sonny only had the right change, he could have gotten through the toll booth. But the movie changed on that. And I had to tell him I didn't watch the whole movie.
Jesus.
I did. I told Sonny Corleone I couldn't watch it. And he says to me, James Caan says to me, if I would have known they were going to make Godfather 2, I never would have let them kill me. He said, we all wanted a payday. And he goes, you know, hey, Al got money. Bobby got money. Like, he started mentioning all these people. He goes, I get shot. I didn't know they were going to do a Godfather 2. I don't want to be in Godfather 3, but Godfather 2, I could have made some more money. I would have told them, hey, you can rough me up. You can't kill me. Welcome to the program. Sidetracked, as always. A couple of headlines here. The NHL announces the return 2014 playoff. They're not going to have regular season. We'll talk to the commissioner, Gary Bettman. Baseball owners asking players to take big pay cuts. It just feels like there's more of a, it's like a continental divide between these two right now. And we'll find out what the NBA is going to do. Friday, I think, is the big day. That's when you have a conference call with the owners. I think we're going to find out exactly how many teams. Is it going to be in Orlando? Are you going to start the playoffs? Are you going to have the regular season? Are you going to have play-in games for maybe some of these teams to try to, you know, compete for the eighth spot? I think there's a few things that are still up for grabs there. But just some things that we've been keeping an eye on. Phil Mickelson will join us coming up in about 10 minutes. McLovin, what's the poll question here?
Which sport will you miss the most this summer if it does not come back? MLB, NHL, or NBA? 58% MLB to start.
Okay. I'm surprised at that. Because with the NHL, is there a magical season somebody's having, team, individual? The NBA, it feels like you got some things that are hanging in the balance there. You got some marquee names. You got some big cities involved. But baseball, maybe just the fact that we got, you know, there was a little sampling there in spring training, and then all of a sudden it went away quickly. And we're so used to, our body adapts to the sports calendar where all of a sudden it's time for baseball. You know, it's time to ramp up with the NHL postseason, NBA postseason. And now you're going, man, I kind of miss that on a daily basis, nightly basis. But I would have thought it would have been the NBA. A couple of phone calls in here. George in Arizona. Hi, George. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Oh, great, George.
I'm a 10-year listener.
Well, thank you, George.
I've got a little thing. Denzel Washington, an American gangster.
Okay. I'm aware of the movie. I think Russell Crowe is in it. I did not see that movie, but thank you, George. It's a mobster movie. What was the one? We were watching Tequila Sunrise yesterday with Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
It was one of those movies you pop on in the background that you don't really have to watch, but
yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
You watch just when she's on the screen.
That's
yes,
right.
McLovin.
Do you guys think Scarface with Al Pacino holds up? Because I've seen it recently, and it feels very 80s-ish to me. I don't know if you've seen that one, Dan.
I've watched some of it.
Is that recently? Or
did I watch it recently?
Some of it recently.
No, it's been a while.
It hasn't.
You weren't hosting SportsCenter every night. I mean, like, you worked 4 or 5 nights a week. I know it's a lot. You worked a lot in the 80s and 90s.
But. Yeah. I don't know. It was just...
Scarface?
I thought he kind of overreacted. He overacted a little bit. I thought Pacino was chewing up some film time there. That's just me.
You wanted a more demure Cuban...
What do I know? What do I know?
Cocaine-fueled...
Yes. Yeah.
Killer.
I mean, I've been in 17 movies. Hello.
Wait,
yes, McClump.
You're saying Al Pacino overacted, maybe yelled a little bit? Hot take alert. I agree 100%.
He was chewing up some camera time in there.
After Godfather 1, what movie did he not do that in?
Ooh. See, this is another thing. I can't bring up who's a better actor, Pacino or De Niro, with my wife's side of the family. Because, like, it's really serious.
They take it personal?
Or if I go outside and say somebody who's not Italian is a great actor. And then they're like, what are you talking about? They're not better than Bobby or Al? Like you don't know them?
Bobby.
Bobby. Bobby De Niro. There. Let me see. Let's see if somebody else wants to yell at me here. Mark in Indiana. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Oh, today, great. I'm great.
Hey, 5'6", 180, cut like an upside-down V. Hey, Pope of Greenwich Village.
Yep.
Phenomenal movie.
Yep.
Eric Roberts, Mickey Rourke, Daryl Hannah. Just growing up in New York, you just knew guys like that growing up. And just a great movie, great acting.
I didn't love it. I don't need Daryl Hannah in any movie. I love Mickey Rourke, but then Julia Roberts' brother...
It's really just the "they took my thumb" scene that kind of takes down the whole movie. They took my thumb, Charlie. They took my thumb, and it's Eric Roberts just going bonkers, and you're like, "That's not."
And you can see where it's you see these movies come right at you, and then you go, "Here it comes." All right, he's going to be in trouble. All right, they're going to take it out. All right, here we go. Then you're like, ah. Yeah, so I'm not a mob guy. Dan in Connecticut. Hi, Dan.
To McLovin's point earlier, when you guys said, you know, when he made the distinction about Reservoir Dogs not being a mafia movie, I think at some point you're kind of talking about two different lists of movies and categories. And to Seton's point before, when he's like, why do we find ourselves rooting for the bad guy and rooting for the gangster? I think that's what Coppola's contribution to the mafia genre was, like in Godfather 2, when Michael says to the senator, we're both part of the same hypocrisy, that corruption's everywhere, and no matter what you can do, you find up rooting for the guy that just wants to provide for his family and do what he can to survive a rough go in America. And I think that's the great thing about the mafia genre.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Getting a little deep there. I have a hard time watching. I don't watch Reservoir Dogs. There's part of it that I like, but it gets to the torture scene, and I check out. All done with that. Can't watch it. Once, that's it. Even Pulp Fiction was on the other day, and the scene where Zed is having his way, and then all of a sudden, is it Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, Bruce Willis has his voice still kind of quivering a little bit. Like, are we good?
Yeah.
We're good. Like, I love the scene where he's leaving.
And he decides to pause and look through all the weapons.
And he takes his motorcycle. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. Phil Mickelson will stop by. It's 18 after the hour. This is The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cannon-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going
to
pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Man, I don't want to brag, but I was putting on a display on the golf simulator there. I was throwing darts. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. It's the all-new GT four-door coupe because life is a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews from the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave, go to the Dan Patrick Show app. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes-AMG Man Cave. Mercedes-AMG driving performance. This wedge that I got from Callaway should be illegal. Phil Mickelson joining us on the program. Did you get to see any of that display there, Phil?
I didn't see you throwing darts, but I love the terminology. It's very similar to some of the things I like to do.
What are your terms that you use? Tasty was one.
Yeah, I like to hit bombs, hellacious. I love tasty little morsel. I don't know. Come up with what. Of course, that's part of the fun of it, just, you know, creating your own verbiage, I guess.
Where are you right now?
I'm in my yard. I'm getting ready to go practice.
And do you practice by yourself?
I get the most done when I practice by myself, yes. I don't get interrupted, and I find it almost kind of like a meditation type thing to be alone practicing.
But do you play golf by yourself? Would you go out and play 18 by yourself?
I am playing 36 today, and not by myself. John Rahm is in town doing some work with some of his companies and people here in San Diego. So we're going to go play this morning. I've got Tom Pernice and another player, Ken Doty, who's on the Korn Ferry Tour. So we've got a nice little game this morning.
I like that. Was there at any point a moment where you thought, do I give Tom Brady a lesson when you realized how he was struggling on the front nine?
So Tom is one of those guys that he kind of just finds a way. And if you get in his way and you give him too much thought, it will inhibit him from figuring it out. And he just kind of figured it out. If you looked at the way, obviously we played awful the first six holes, both of us. But after that, we played really, really well. In fact, we played four under par the last 12 holes. Now, an alternate shot, I thought if we shot like 38 or 39, like a couple over, that'd be really good. We shot two under. So he really stepped it up on the back nine.
But I think he acted like we do on the weekend. That was the thing I loved about Brady, is it humanized him. Here's the greatest, but he's just like us when he gets out there. The common mistakes that you make, you grip it too tight, your swing is a little quick there, and you can't hide because this is on TV.
You're right, and that's why I give he and Peyton a lot of credit, because they're the best at what they do, and to go into the arena of something that they're not as comfortable in and they're not as confident in and have not worked on very much. That I give them a lot of credit for putting themselves out there. That's not an easy thing to do. I thought they did it with a lot of grace and comedy.
What was your favorite moment of the round?
My favorite moment was, I think when Brady made the two, when he made the putt on 11, because that gave us a chance. And Peyton Manning had hit an iron shot in there to like 8 feet. And with Tiger putting, he's going to make that putt. And so this was our chance to pick one up. Had we not made that after playing this hole like beautifully and then walk away with a tie, that would have been very deflating. Instead, it gave us this energy that, hey, we can do this. We can make this comeback. And we almost did. And that putt that he made on 11 was my favorite moment, I think.
I was amazed. Well, I shouldn't say amazed with Tiger, but, man, he looked pretty good, Phil.
Yeah, he did. He flat out did. He hit some great shots and was in play all the time and played really, really well. But the guy that like stepped up was Peyton. I mean, my goodness, he makes a natural two on the par three, the first par three. He makes a net two on number eight, and he makes a net birdie on seven. And that was, and then he almost holes it on 16 for $25 million, knocks it a foot. And that wasn't an easy shot. It was strong wind, and I just thought he played remarkable. I was really impressed with him, and I was impressed with the way my partner turned it around too.
Peyton was pretty good trash talking though. He's stealth there, Phil.
He's brilliant, and the thing about Peyton is that his delivery is in a way that laugh with him. He doesn't elicit a defensive response, and so it makes it very easy and fun to be around him and to have everybody laugh at what he's saying. I just love his delivery. I love the way he kind of talks to himself, kind of mumbles, but it's in a kind of a Larry David kind of comedic way.
Talking to Phil Mickelson, the Cavs look great. If you could pass a rule that you could wear shorts, would you be in favor of wearing shorts on tour?
That would be a given. I mean, allowing it in practice alone, but been a pretty funny topic the last year and a half.
How does your wife deal with this?
She's very attracted to it.
Why did you have the best cat? You have two football players in Tiger Woods, and you had the best Cavs out of all of them, Phil.
I can't argue with you.
Being an analyst, golf analyst, does that interest you at all when this is all said and done? I don't know when it's all said and done. You're turning 50 and you look like you're still hitting it the way you did 10 years ago.
So I'm having so much fun playing that I want to continue to play. And this is the best shape I've been in. This is the fastest I've swung the club head in a long time. This is the best I feel, the hardest I've been able to practice, and the most fun that I'm having while playing golf. And so I want to play and compete and play against the best players. And I'm excited to get back out on tour. I'm excited to go play here at Colonial and see where I'm at, because I feel like I've had a really good last few months to get my game back and be sharp. And I'm excited to go play. So I don't want to say that I wouldn't enjoy doing that. I thought Justin Thomas did a phenomenal job.
He did. Yeah. He was sneaky good.
he was really good, and his personality came out, and I think he resonated with a lot of people. I think it was really a good thing for him where people got to see how funny he is, insightful he is, and fun to be around. I think he gained a lot of fans by showcasing his personality that you don't always see in a regular telecast. I thought he did a really great job and added the perfect amount of spice to the event. So would I enjoy doing that? Yes, I think I would enjoy doing that, but I really want to play right now.
Is this a one and done, or can you see Weathers, you know, are you and Tiger done with this of coupling with somebody, and then maybe it's other pros and quarterbacks coming in?
We've had a lot of calls the last couple of days that people want in, and I think that there's an opportunity here to create a competition that is also very entertaining, that showcases a lot of personality, but is still very competitive. And I thought that there were some things that worked this time around that can work again. I thought having no people on the golf course was a big thing. I thought that it allowed more of an interaction between players, and the viewer at home had a much more intimate feel. I thought the cameras in the golf carts were a huge thing. I thought the carts were a good thing because it sped up the time in between shots.
Yeah.
And shot right away. But the cameras in there brought you inside the course, inside the player's thoughts. And I thought that was a really good thing. And the other thing that I thought was interesting was how the rain added an element. We were very concerned about getting it in. We were concerned about having poor weather, but I thought the rain and the tough conditions made it interesting. And that actually opens it up to another opportunity of maybe having an event like this in not so great weather. So I thought there were some things that that could be done again that could really be fun. I don't know if we got lucky or if just it all kind of clicked on Sunday, but I thought that it was a really good mixture of competitiveness, insightfulness, as well as entertainment.
With no galleries, it looks like, perhaps for the rest of the year, would you be willing to be mic'd up? Do you think players would be willing to be mic'd up during a regular tour stop or even a major?
I would be. I mean, I would be open to the idea because of how it's being received and some of the insight and so forth. But you don't have the play between individuals. So, like, I had a partner, and Tom and I could talk back and forth. And maybe we would have some of that with the caddy. But having a partner is much more intimate, and you have much better conversation. So in a real competition for on the PGA Tour, you're competing for a title, you won't have that type of kind of interaction.
Yeah.
Fun. It won't be the same, but I think it would still add something, and I would consider it, yeah.
If you can pick another partner now that you're done with Brady, who would you pick?
Well, it's really hard to top him because he is he really brought a lot to the table, and he is just fun guy to be around. So it's hard to top him because he has the right amount of intensity and the right amount of interaction and smack talk back. I mean, I don't know. It would have to all kind of play together and work together, and what the storyline is. And we'll maybe sit down and see if there's something that might be interesting to the public and try to create something again. But I really like the way this worked out, and I'm really appreciative of the players of Tiger, of Peyton, of Tom, of us all coming together to do something that was really cool.
It's great to talk to you. And once again, raising $20 million, oh, by the way, no small gesture there. That was wonderful. Do you have shorts on right now?
I do, yeah.
Let's see the calves. Can we see the calves? I can just hold quick, just for the ladies who are watching here.
I don't know if I can get my leg that high.
Come on, this is good for my ratings here, your calves here.
If I could turn down just a little bit.
Okay, here we go. Here's Phil's cat. Oh, wow. Wow, that is right? that's some eye candy right there. That's eye candy. All right, go throw some darts there, and great to talk to you once again. Well done, very enjoyable, and appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on. Good seeing you guys.
Phil Mickelson there. Good sports show in the Cavs there. Always appreciate that. LeBron doesn't play golf. But if you had Steph Curry out there, because Steph can play, I don't know who can play golf. But if I'm going to get a couple of NBA players out there, who would I have? Steph Curry, how about if you, oh boy, if you did Tiger and Jordan versus Phil and Steph Curry. Now we have something here. Now we have something there. Because Tiger and Mike, all right, you got the goats there, and then you got Steph and Phil.
Can you imagine with Jordan mic'd up?
Oh, man.
Man. No, I can't imagine. If Tiger screws up, is Mike going to yell at him? Not going to let him eat? Going to freeze him out there? Or, I mean, Tiger would be giving it to Mike. That would be great, too. All right, some phone calls here. Seton, are you traumatized by Phil Mickelson's calf? Oh, what is wrong with me that I'm asking another man? Can I see your calves?
Oh, dear.
Yes, McLovin.
I'm looking at it now. It is unusual. It's implants? What is going
on?
It
looks like his calves are pregnant. He's ready to give birth to little calves. Oh. There. Maybe we take a break here.
Anywho.
Yes, Todd.
It makes us feel a little insecure because you have the calves and the calf knots.
So okay, got it. All right. Thank you, Todd. Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more phone calls here. I got more people who want to tell me why I should be watching mob movies here. I blame this on Stephen King. Stephen King tweets this out, and then all of a sudden, I take the clickbait. Oh, and then we're off and running. All right, we're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Well, it's a topic that you would expect on this show and no other show. We, of course, had the hot guy draft. Can an actor be too good looking? We were talking about that during the commercial break. Paulie showed a picture of James Marsden. I don't know enough about James Marsden.
Been in a lot of movies. He's in a show now with Christina Applegate.
Dead to Me.
He's been in The Notebook. He's been in a bunch of other movies. Really, really good looking guy, like the overly good looking guy.
Too good looking.
Yeah, kind of like Rob Lowe in the early 20 years ago.
Okay.
And our theory is that when you're too good looking as a Hollywood actor,
hello,
you can't be a leading man. People don't root for you as much. And it's the only place where it's a negative. You can get a lot of roles, but...
I don't know if they care about being rooted for. I think we have a hard time laughing at a good-looking comedian.
Right. The Dane Cook effect.
Yeah, I think we have a problem with that. Because Tom Cruise is handsome.
But Rob Lowe was better looking in the same movie.
Yes. Yes, he was. Yes, Todd.
Is that why some of my comedy didn't go well? Because they couldn't get past the handsomeness?
Okay.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Hey, now that's funny. I like that.
It's self-deprecating. It's clever. It was in the moment.
You did it. Hey, Todd did it.
There's something there. There's a little something still there somewhere.
You're doing stand-up one more time.
I know you're pushing for that. I'm sure it will happen.
I think you could be really good with somebody else's material, or there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
Sinatra didn't write his own music.
That's a good point. That's
Elvis
good
didn't
point.
Write his own music.
A lot of it's the delivery and not the actual.
Yes,
what you're saying.
You have a great delivery. Yes, Seton.
What if you did? You had them write the same material, but everybody went up to different places and delivered it.
Now that's interesting.
And see who was fun. Like say Paul and Todd had the exact same lines and the exact same punchlines, but they went to one comedy club and delivered it. And then Todd went to Caroline's, and then Paul went to, Yuck Yucks or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know what another one is.
I want to know what if Adam Sandler or Chris Rock or one of the greats actually did the section row seat or anything that I've said in those previous appearances, they would get a lot more laughs because they're, whether it's a likable thing or there's certain people you want to root for and you start laughing, before they even say anything, you want to laugh. You want to
But
be
you're used to laughing at them. Nobody's used to laughing at you. Therefore, the audience didn't know you. They weren't going, oh, this is going to be funny.
Not to mention when you don't even acknowledge their existence. That just kind of turns people off of them. There you go. I got another giggle out of you. There you go.
No, it's an uncomfortable giggle because I'm just remembering being in the audience at Caroline's. I couldn't get enough drinks in me. No. Quick enough.
When you're so nervous, you want to get right to what you memorized, and you don't even think about saying hi to the crowd. That's kind of rude.
I was drinking Jack and Cokes because I thought maybe. Then I said, I'm just going to do Jack.
Yes, Eden.
You know, you're right on about that, though, because people, when we went to Minneapolis and we were at that brewery and Todd crushed, yeah. He absolutely slayed. That's because those people knew him and they were used to laughing at him or with him or whatever his material is. So when he was like, hey, how about Crohn's? And they're like, bah! This is great, Fritzy, you rule.
How about irritable bowel disease? Anybody,
yeah.
Anybody?
Talk
into the bathroom every 20 minutes, you, anybody?
But then you go into a group full of strangers and he's like, hey, how about this? And they're like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
There's no context.
How about this? Tampa Super Bowl. And we have you do a stand-up act. We're big in Tampa.
Got a great affiliate down
there.
Well,
we'll have a home bar advantage for you, home court advantage for you.
Who wouldn't want to do stand-up comedy in Tampa?
He'd go out on top.
On top, like Tampa, no?
On top. Oh, man. So you got 7 months to write 5 minutes. Can you do it?
You would think that should be more than enough time to come up with something somewhat remotely humorous.
I'm gonna reach out to Sandler and just say, could you?
Oh, he's not going to take my advice. He thinks he's got all the answers because he did a couple of jokes 4 times in his life.
But you won't read Sandler's material, right?
I definitely will.
Oh, you will now?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm not arrogant like that. It probably came out wrong in the past. I know you guys teased me about that. Well, not interested in listening to David Spade or any of these people. But I guess it's more of like you want to feel like you came up with your own stuff. There's something to be said for like that was stuff that I came up with as opposed to just saying.
But would you rather come up with something that wasn't funny or somebody else came up with something that was funny,
Todd?
That's
why I would prefer actual laughing in the audience, even if it wasn't my original
stuff. Because I can't sit and watch you bomb again.
It's very uncomfortable for the person actually on stage waiting for someone.
You know what?
To
maybe we shouldn't do this then.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I wanted a trapdoor so bad at Caroline's. I'm looking.
Oh, so did someone, we.
Someone pull some kind of rope so I could fall through the floor.
Caroline's installed a trapdoor after you were done. It's the Fritzy door.
Yeah, see.
The MC or the host of the event coming back on after this big smile. He's like, whoa, what did that guy just do?
Do you want to be the next person up after me where
yes.
Anything you say is going to be funny or I just destroyed the crowd and now they're all upset and not in the mood for anything.
I think when that woman came up after you, people started applauding just because you were leaving.
So that's mean. That's
I know.
It's piling on right now.
It's true, but it's just saying. It's just saying that.
Over the line.
James in New Jersey joins us. Hey, James, what do you have for me today?
6'2", 188, Dan, and I'm calling for an intervention.
Okay.
Instead of talking about Bundesliga results and the 27th best team and the NBA and a mid-July game that means nothing. You're on Viggo Mortensen naked, Phil Mickelson's calves. I mean, Rob Lowe is prettier than Tom Cruise. What's next? Dr. Fauci's biceps?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to take a closer look there. But thank you, James. Sorry, James.
James just wants you to know that he's a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Just laughing at ourselves, James.
Before you can.
Yeah. Just laughing. That's all. Just trying to have a good time. That's all. Jamie in North Carolina.
Dr. Fauci, by the way, great biceps.
Yeah.
We should point it out.
Mm. Jamie in North Carolina. Hey, Jamie.
Yeah. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, it's 6'4", 215, North Carolina, Outer Banks right now, looking at the water.
Awesome.
And I just wanted, it was great. Get to, take a mind off all this stuff for a little bit. But I just wanted to weigh in. I think what you're doing is great. Keep talking about what you talk about. And Snatch is a very sneaky, great gangster movie by Guy Ritchie.
Yep.
Very fast-paced. And I think it's a great, mobster gangster movie.
Seton was really bringing it up, brought it up this morning, Jamie. Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, just watched it again over the weekend, actually.
And I told these guys that Brad Pitt came up with that accent, the pikey accent, the night before they started shooting. He went to Guy Ritchie, Madonna's former husband, and said, hey, I want to use this accent. And Guy Ritchie reportedly said, go get him. And he went out there and you pick out every fourth word, which just made it great. Yeah, McLovin.
English mobsters, different genre altogether. You can't put that in with The Godfather.
It's organized crime.
Right. But also the drug kingpin, like Narcos and those movies, totally different too. Like Pablo Escobar movies, they don't count either.
Kevin in Virginia joins us. Hi, Kevin. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, just going back to the Tony Dungy interview, they were talking about fixing the Rooney Rule.
Yeah.
Would it be a fix for the Rooney Rule if teams could not hire a coach until after the Super Bowl? Bieniemy's been on two late playoff runs the last couple of years. He can't interview until the week before the Super Bowl, and all the teams have already hired all their coaches.
Yeah, I don't know where we stand with that, Kevin. I thought that they modified that. McLovin, do you know if they opened that window to allow these assistant coaches to interview?
I believe there was a proposal, and I don't know if it passed, to, yeah, something about that, the assistants have a bigger window to interview. Oh, no. I think it was that you can't contractually keep them from interviewing as easily as you used to.
But now that we're using Zoom, that might help someone like Eric Bieniemy, that he's getting prepared for the AFC title game, but he has an hour where he can talk to a team and they can get to know him through Zoom. And, you know, granted, he's not there in person, but what you do when you have these interviews, you basically say to that coach, hey, what would you do with our team? If you're an offensive coach, hey, what do you see? They want to pick your brain of what you would do. What's different? What do you think of our quarterback? What do you think of our line? What do you think? You go in and you go in as if you're the head coach. And that's how Mike Tomlin got the job. He just blew the Steelers away. He just went in and they were like, hey, it's a Rooney Rule. You're going to, interview Mike Tomlin. And he went in there and he was buttoned up and he told them exactly what they wanted to hear. And maybe that would help Eric Bieniemy. He can't travel to interview for a team, but he's able to through Zoom. He could at least do that, the preliminary stages. Yeah, McLovin.
The new rule that passed is you can't block an assistant coach from interviewing for a higher-up job, like coordinator. So it's a little different, but I think they're also working on what you're talking about, too.
Yeah, I think that would be beneficial to all involved. McLovin, update the poll results.
Which sport will you miss the most if it doesn't come back this summer? MLB 61%, NBA second.
Do you want to come up with another poll question for the final hour?
Sure do. We're cooking something over here.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Okay. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, is going to join us. I know he's got a plan. I'm not exactly sure when hockey's going to start again, but they do have the infrastructure here. We'll talk to him coming up. More phone calls as well. Dan Patrick Show.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.